Well, welcome again. What a great opportunity we have on Sunday mornings to worship God, to experience all of who God is. We're in the midst of a dynamic series, the Hooking Up series, and we're praying that God is going to rewire us, give us a better future. And we started last week with quite an exciting time. And so I want to take you back. Who wasn't here last week? Cool. So this is for you, right? We saw that it starts with boy meets girl. Boy asks girl to go out with him. Boy decides there's a better girl in town. He's going to dump girl. Oh, boy meets that new girl. Boy decides there's a better girl than that girl. He dumps new girl. Boy dumps many new girls. Boy proposes to girl number 20, because it takes a few. Boy marries girl number 20, and they live happily ever after for 3 months. Or is it 3 years? Maybe it's a good shot. Boy divorces girl, decides, nah, this is not working for me. This is too tough. Boy marries again, and again, and can't figure out why wife number 7 is so painful. Thanks, we can have the lights. I don't know if you've been on the receiving end of any of this. I don't know if in the last week, as we role-played that out, I don't know if you recognized some stuff that was going on. And I don't know if maybe you've been personally on the receiving end of some heartache, of some heartbreak, of having your hopes and your dreams shattered. I guess if you're 12, unless you met your lifelong sweetheart in grade naught and got really sad because your mum moved you away from that town, you may not have experienced that, and this is going to include you as well, the series. Anyone ever been on the receiving end of deceit, of deception? Anyone ever deceived you and done anything? I see some hands. And guess what? If your hand isn't going up, the only reason your hand's not going up is because you're young. Too young to have been deceived. It's coming. It's coming. Anyone ever been on the receiving end of lack of trust? Don't put your hand up. It's too tough to admit. Hey, man, she wasn't trustworthy. He wasn't trustworthy. Turned out to be a psycho, mass killer, chainsaw person. Not nice person. Anyone been on the receiving end of betrayal? Someone, you know, had your best friend run off with your dream girl. Have you ever felt like you've tied your soul to someone and it's like impossible to get it back? We're going to talk about that next week, I'm sure. Well, today we're going to change tack a little bit. Have you ever heard of the idea of a template? If you're into computers, you know that there's such a thing as a template, and it defines certain basic startup options. And so every time you go into Word, you don't have to say that I want the Arial font 12 points. But in that page is already set up certain things. I've just designed a website, theyouthministryresourcer.com. And in that, I've got a template master that makes the site look really beautiful. Looks like I've done some amazing stuff. But I've actually just adjusted a basic template. Not basic, because I paid good money for this website. And it's got predefined things in it that if you follow that path, a lot of the work is done for you, and it's going to protect you. It means you don't have to start from scratch, and you won't get 100 errors appearing. God has what we would call a blueprint or a plan for our lives that would help our lives go right, not get into a mess. And when we deviate off, when we put the wrong code in, when we forget to put that square bracket at the end of the code that says, this is hypertext markup language, and I'm going to close that because I've opened the div code, and I'm going to close it with a backslash. If you don't put that in, everything after that is wrong. So if I've said, make everything font size 10, and I don't close that command, everything, not just the heading, is 10. And God says, your life is like that. If you don't follow carefully what I've set for you, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for peace and not disaster. Plans to give you a future filled with hope. The Creator designs disaster for no one. We never get into disaster, shipwreck, mess up, because God's planned that for us. Never. There is another horny devil who's out there who wants disaster to come your way. And he is the one that designs mess and disaster. Even when we're tempted, no one can say that God has tempted us, but our own desires with the operation of old Mr. Horns is pulling us astray. And so we want to look this morning at what the Creator's plan is for us. And we have a guest preacher in the house this morning. Won't you put your hands together for our own Mtawalanga. Imta, what does the Creator's hookup plan look like?
Okay. Good morning, guys. How many of the guys like girls? If you're a guy and you like girls, I just want to know who I'm talking to. Please, can you stand? Just stand. I just want to see who I. If you're a guy and you like girls. Okay, Ellery, I can see, doesn't like chicks. Pepsi doesn't like chicks. Josie, okay. It's fine. It's fine to like girls, guys. It's not a problem. Okay, cool. I know who I'm talking to. And if you're a girl and you like boys, please can you just stand? I just want to see who I'm talking to. If you're a girl and you like boys, okay? If you're a girl and you like boys, okay. So you don't like boys. Okay, thank you. I'm speaking to a few people. You know what? You know why I asked that question, guys? It's because we're all so shy to talk about the fact that we like each other. It's like this big top secret thing. I just bought you roses because, you know, you're just a nice girl. Valentine's Day comes. I don't know if you guys have it at your schools where you can buy stuff for the girls at the other school and then you get gifts in the school. And it happens, but nobody ever talks about it. It's like this big, jeez, I can't say I like girls. Or at least maybe we're in church. How many of you know that God has a process? And if you do, I'd like you to tell me what the steps are from like being born to when you get married. Has anybody ever read a book that like gives you step by step? Anybody? Okay, well that's great. Then let me tell you my story and hopefully you can learn from me. We all created, right? As you can see, when I was in high school, or when I was born, God was handing out handsome up in heaven and I was like on the front row. And he gave me like quite a huge dose of handsome. And I bless God for that and it's awesome. But when we are created, God gives us gifts and God gives us abilities and God gives us personalities that he intends for us to use for him. Scripture here says, God has made us what we are. Everybody say, God has made us what we are. You know, sometimes you think you're cool and you're like, I do this sometimes. I say to my wife, hey, but today I'm looking good. Do you ever do that? Like, you know, when you get dressed and you're like, shucks, today I've hit it. Today, there's some days when you don't get it. But there's some days where you're like, yay, today, I think I'm on point. But God has made us what we are, guys. And sometimes, you know, you're good at sports and you're good at speaking and you're good at playing music and you've got all these gifts and you forget that, shucks, I was given these things. You weren't born and just like could play stuff. You weren't born and you were funny. You weren't born and you were charming and had a nice smile. God engineered that you look the way you look. God made you the way you are. He has created us in Christ Jesus to live lives filled with good works that he's prepared for us to do. And guess what? God has plans for us to do stuff, even when it comes to relationships. The second thing is we get saved. Now, how do we get from being born and pretty and handsome and loving girls to getting saved? This was my story. When I was in high school, handsome in high school, they rhyme, I liked girls, like the guys that stood up. And I was like, shucks, I'm getting into grade 8. I'm getting to that stage where it's like you go to dances. When do you guys start going to dances? And like grade 7? Yes, actually, you're right. Grade 6? Grade 5? No. Okay, well, I started attending dances in like in grade 7. And it was like the big thing. It was like, yay, we could go to socials and like dance with girls. And you know when guys dance with girls, they're not interested like in this kind of stuff. All guys want to do, they've got one dance. Girls, one dance. Watch out. This is how guys dance. It's not like the tango, that romantic. This is how guys dance in high school. And usually it starts here, like the first verse. It will go something like, I will never find another lover sweeter than you, sweeter than you. And so the hands are here. And I will never find another lover more precious than you. In the mind, he's going, okay, oh, you are close to me just like my ma, close to me just like my ba. And he's thinking, okay, first verse, okay. And he's maybe might whisper something in your ear. Yeah, okay. Or he's just nervous. And by the time we hit the chorus, it's going to be, and oh my life, I pray for someone like you. His heart is beating. It's like, whoa. And you allow him, girls. You also just like, I don't know what's going through your mind. By the time he gets to the last chorus, hopefully he's like, I pray for someone like that was the story. That's where I learned how to dance. Dancing for me had nothing to do with the steps. Dancing for me had everything to do with like what girl I could like rub up against and like touch. And I don't know, you girls, some of you, you know, the girls just used to let it happen. Because I think that's just, you know, how you did it. And in grade 7, I remember my first kiss, I was like, now, I was one of those guys that was like, my first kiss is going to be like with someone, that's someone special. You know, I didn't want to hear it. My friends, when they hit grade 7, they used to go up to Clarendon High and like just kiss girls. But I was like, no, guys, I'm not going to do this. This is something special. And you know what? When I was in grade 7, I'm sad to say that I was pressured into kissing my first kiss. I'm dancing and, you know, somebody say, oh, you're not going to kiss her. And, you know, sometimes you think, yes, I am going to kiss her. And then you just, the peer pressure gets you and you just like, you know, and you go home and you're like, okay, I had my first kiss. You know, but that's what peer pressure does. When I was in grade 7, I'm serious, I wanted my first kiss to be special. I don't know if that happens nowadays, but if you have never kissed a girl, can I give you a piece of encouragement? I know it's difficult, but save that thing. Okay, let's move on. Then I go to high school. So I'm liking girls, I'm dancing with girls, I'm doing all this stuff with girls. And then by grade 10, when I was just about to like skyrocket in my girl career, I had big plans for the girls in East London, like big plans. Naughty plans, but big plans. And when I was about in grade 10, God came into the picture. Now, I got to tell you, this, I did not want God to come into the picture. Because, you know, when someone tells you something true, like you want to do something, and like someone says to you, listen, maybe you shouldn't do that. That's like the last thing you want to hear when you want to do something. Am I right? You want to go out and someone comes to you, listen, that club is a bit dangerous. I don't think you should. It's like the last thing. You're like, no, I don't want to hear that. And so when I was in high school, I remember I used to stay in hostel. And my boys' school hostel was here. And there was a girls' school hostel at Clarendon High that was over here. So every month, all of us had to go to church at least once. Now, I didn't go to church. Other guys went to church every Sunday. But every Sunday, at least every month, at least once a month. Every month, at least once a month. That makes sense, right? We were all forced to go to church. So it was kind of like, pick a church, whatever church you go to. The whole hostel is kicked out at like 8:30. We have breakfast and we go. So I went to church, like the closest church, because, you know, I wasn't into it. And that was the day that God just came into my life. Now, I'm being very honest here. I wish I had my boy here, Ned O'Grana. He stays in Durban. But that was the day that we had planned to, like, go, I don't know what base. Yeah, thank you, bro. Synonyms are good. is it called a home run when you decide to go all the way with a girl, whatever base that is? I swear to you, that very day was the day that he and I say to each other, we're going to go all the way with our girlfriends. And but first, we had to go to church. So we got dressed. You know, we went to church. Some of the times we went to church and we had been out bunking out the night before. So it was kind of like you sleeping in your Levi's jeans, and then the bell goes, you kind of roll out of bed and you go to church. But this day, we washed because the girls were coming after church. I'm sitting there. I can't remember what the pastor was preaching about, but all I remember was a picture of me standing in front of a mountain. It was like a thought that it's almost like God came into my mind and like pressed pause on my thoughts. And all of a sudden, I was standing there in front of this huge mountain and I was looking up. And God said to me these words that I'll never forget. And these are the words that started my journey in terms of following Jesus. God said to me, "You're more than this. I've made you more than this." And I remember feeling this small. You know, I was in grade 10. I had my girl career. You know, I had my sports career. And I was like the guy at school. In grade 10, everybody knew me. I was the guy who everybody knew. All the girls knew, you know. And God just said to me, "I've made you more than this." And my whole world just seemed to be like this small. I remember crying, guys. You know when you cry and you don't want to cry? It's not like the... It's like the... like an ugly kind of like, "I don't want to cry, but I can't help it." And everybody like is looking at me like, "What is this?" You know, can you imagine like one of the guys that don't really like church and all of a sudden they're crying in church? That was me that day. I remember walking back to hostel thinking, shucks, I don't know why. I don't know any scriptures, but all I know is that I can't do this. I said to my friend, "Dude, we can't do this." I remember he was like devastated. He was like, "What are you saying to me?" Anyways, to the best that I could, I explained to them what happened to me. And that day, we didn't go through with it. And I'll always say that God saved my virginity that day. Funny to some, but it's serious. God that day literally came down from heaven and said, "Son, I don't want you to do this." And then my journey of like, you know, girls came and struggling and like trying to find out what this is. I don't know if you guys have ever tried breaking up with your girlfriend who's not saved and the only reason you have is God. That will be like the most... Lord, I pray that you never do that to these guys. But that's like the most uncomfortable conversation I've ever had with any girl. Because it's like, a few hours ago, we were planning to do something. And later on, I'm calling her. I'm like, you know, beep. We call her Tandekile, just for protection, for the witness protection program. And I'm trying to explain to this girl that, listen, God came and like did stuff. And she was like, "Yeah, you know what, I don't understand, but I'll try." Fast forward, that relationship didn't work out. She ended up like messing around with my best friend and like going all the way with him. So when you talk about deceit and you've ever been deceived, that was me. I'm trying to like do this God thing as well as doing this girlfriend thing. Meanwhile, she's like, she doesn't understand me. I'm like on this God thing. I'm thinking I have a girlfriend. She doesn't understand the stuff that I'm doing, so she kind of left. And that was like my first major drama when it comes to girls. And that included my boyfriend. But God saved me. God saved you through faith as an act of kindness. God sees you when you're about to do stupid things when it comes to relationships. And you know what? You hear it every day when you come to church. Sometimes he speaks to you himself. Those thoughts that say, "Dude, no." Or, "Girl, no." And you had nothing to do with it. Being saved is a gift from God, guys. God has saved me from so much. Because the way that I was headed was nowhere. That's what was step one. Step one, God created us, right? Gave us the gifts, gave us the looks, gave us the charm, gave us the personality. But he made it for us. We didn't own it for ourselves. Then you know what? We live our lives. We don't know God when we use our gifts and we get famous and we get smart and we get A's in school and we play soccer and we beatbox and we do all these things that people look at us and we forget that God made it for us. But one day God comes and saves you and reminds you, "Hey, you're mine. You belong to me. I love you." And that's the process that then you start to try and figure out what this whole Christian thing is about. Are you guys following me? Are you with me? That's when you start like trying to figure out, okay, I'm handsome. But what does that mean if I'm handsome and saved? Because if I don't have God, being handsome is like a free ticket to, you know, parties and girls liking you, and it's like you can do whatever you want, you can use your charm, and you can do whatever you want. But when God comes in the picture, things change. You can't just do the same things that you used to do. And that's when you've got to start figuring out how to do this thing. And the step three is to get connected. Why? Because guys, if you're not connected with people who don't know God, they're going to lead you astray. If you have a girlfriend that you so dearly love, But she has no idea what singing and what worship and what love for God means. You're going to be led astray. Girls, if you have a boy that you like, I'm trying to look at every girl so that you know that I'm talking to all of you. If you have a boyfriend and he does not know God, and you're trying to like get to know God, and sometimes it's hard, and sometimes it's easy, and you don't understand, you're asking questions, but man, you want to get to know this God. And you've got a guy who doesn't care about that. All he wants to do is just, oh my, with you. You know what? You're going to be led astray. So why do we need to be connected? We need to be connected to people who are like-minded. You guys need to be connected to teenagers, to go to your school, who have started this journey. Guys who've encountered God, they might not be able to understand it, they might not be able to explain it, they might not be able to know the scriptures, but you need to get connected with teenagers, guys your age, who are starting this journey. Because otherwise, you're just not going to make it. Boys, all the guys in this room, you know what? There's a way that the world teaches you to treat girls. And you know what? It's got nothing to do with how God teaches you how to treat girls. And you know what? The truth is, some of you in here don't know how to treat girls. Can we be honest? Some of the girls in here don't know how to treat guys. Can we be honest about that? And there's no ways that you're ever going to learn how to do this guy-girl thing unless you start getting connected to people who know God, who have been transformed by God and are being changed by God each and every single day and trying to figure this thing out. You know what? I've been saved a little bit longer than you guys. Andrew has been saved a little bit longer than me. Mark has been saved a little longer than me as well. And it helps to go and speak to people who have walked a little bit longer than you. Because if you want to know how to do this relationship with God, you can't just figure it out on your own. You can't just figure it out with your boys that don't know God and it's like, oh, I'm fit. Yeah, no, go for it. Yeah, I want to then, okay, but be safe. Use a condom. You know what I mean? You think you're getting wisdom, you think you're getting insight, but you're getting nothing from these guys because they know nothing about God. So the third step to this whole thing is to get connected. Are you following? That is why you are no longer foreigners and outsiders, but citizens together with God's people and members of God's family. We sing this song over and over again that, hey, this is not just a group of people who meet. We're trying to build a community here. We're trying to build a family. So that you can come. Sichaba can put up a post and say, you know, should I make a move or not? I like her. And he doesn't have to feel embarrassed. Because, hey, he's a guy and he likes girls and he doesn't know what to do. And so what? We're going to figure it out. We're going to help each other. All the guys who think they've got all the answers, those are the guys that fall in the end. Because, hey, they think they know everything. So big up to you, Sichaba. I know you probably didn't want it up there. But I want to encourage you, dude. It's fine. You like a girl? Hey, so does like 6 billion other people around the world your age. Well, not really. That would make it no. That's not statistically correct. That's fine, dude. Your step now is to figure out how to do it right. And that's only, I mean, people, godly people surrounding you, godly friends surrounding you, telling you and teaching you how to do it. And most importantly, God teaching you. Then as you do that, guys, as you connect, you know what? You make mistakes. Some of you, by the grace of God, won't make mistakes. But most of us will. Most of us will be ugly to a girl. Most of us will, like, you know, a girl will be ugly to us. Most of you girls will be ugly to guys. Most of you guys will swear at guys and do all sorts of things. But the point is you must be connected so that somebody can say to you, Diana, you were wrong. Now, Sissy, you know I love you. You know I'm not picking on you. Don't worry about those guys. Don't worry about those guys. So that someone can look at you and say, Ndombi, that's wrong, Sissy. And remind you that, hey, there's a way that I'm supposed to do this. Guys, you need guys in your life to say, hey, James, dude, maybe you shouldn't do that thing. Maybe you shouldn't go there with her alone. So that you have people around you who are constantly teaching you as God leads them. Then you meet the one. And you know what, guys? When I met my wife, who's my wife now, I was a completely different person to the guy I was in grade 10. And thank God for that. Because through those years, God had taught me how to be able to respect and treat women. There was a pastor here. How many of you guys know David Webb? You know David Webb? You know David Webb? David Webb said this. I want to show you this. He was sharing this at WITS, I think a week ago, 2 weeks ago, and they were talking about how they met and, you know, what mistakes they made and all these things that they did and the wrong things that they did and how God came and, like, changed their lives and, like, worked in them. And this is what Caroline said. After years of God working in both their lives, this is Pastor Caroline, David Webb's wife. Caroline says this. She was loving God, you know, trusting God, not looking at guys, like trying to live a good life. And one day after like an event, and it was probably like it was a ball. They had a dinner. We're having a dinner next week. Guys, take note, listen. They were sitting at a ball. They were eating, right? And what happened was after the event and people are like, oh, great night. Some guys are full. People are walking out. Caroline says she looked around and she saw this guy on his hands and knees. And he was cleaning up. And hey, something in her just said, whoa, there's something different about that guy. Something in her said, there's lots of other guys here, but this guy, there's something different about him. And you know what? I'm sure he would agree with me that God gave him that heart. Because it's not easy to serve. Am I right or am I wrong? It's not easy to work, but God does that, guys. He shapes you in such a way where you become something more than what you think you are now. You think you're the cool cat. God can change you to become a king. Girls, you think you're all that and you think you're like pretty. God can change you and you become princesses. There's a huge difference. And you know what? The world doesn't see that often. And when they do, when they see that, man, there's something different about this girl, that's when you attract guys who all of a sudden know that, hey, I can't just be grabbing this girl's butt because there's something special about her. The way that you carry yourself, ladies, it tells us how we can treat you. I know you've heard it over and over and over again, but you know what? It's true. And when you follow God and God starts to change you, the beautiful thing is you're not in control of that. You're not in control of that. Guys just see it. They just see God in you. And they know that there's something different here. I can't just walk up to this girl like this. I've maybe got to straighten my walk, straighten my talk, and actually have a conversation with her. And that's what happens when you connect with God and God starts to change you. So that when you do meet the one, you're at a good headspace. Are you guys still following me? Yeah. You're still at a good headspace when you meet the one. And you don't mess it up because all you know to do is like these cheesy one pickup lines and let's do this and let's do that. But God has actually taught you some stuff about how to appreciate and love a lady. Then the Lord God formed a woman from the rib that he had taken from the man and he brought her the man. God will bring you and he brought her to the man. Ladies, God will bring him. Guys, God will bring her. If you trust him. If you trust him. And that was my story. Met my wife. We started a relationship. We were here in church. You know, Sam and Jolly, you know, were our mentors. We used to run to them like every time we had problems, every time we had fights, every time we wanted to break up, every time I was sick and tired of her, every time she was sick and tired of me, every time we loved each other madly, we had them to go to and say, this is what's going on in our relationship. This is what I'm struggling with. She's saying, yeah, he's always late. I'm saying, yeah, she's always on time, you know. And those are the things that we engaged with. We were real with each other. I mean, one time we were sitting with Sam and Jolly, and literally, if they were not there, we would have broken up. We were sitting at Cresta, and all that needed to be said was, it's over. It's over. Fine. And while we're having this discussion of it's not working out, I was SMSing Simon Jolly, like desperately. I'm pro at predictive text, so I don't even have to look. I just, you know, guys, can we meet you like now? We were sitting in Cresta in the process of breaking up. I SMSed them, and they SMSed back to say, guys, come for lunch. That saved our relationship because we had people around us. We were connected, and we were trying to do this relationship thing right. I'll skip that. Then we got married, and this is me, the 24-year-old young married guy who all of a sudden has a wife. But you know what? God is teaching me, and God has brought me to this place. And guys, unless you let God in and teach you how to do your relationships, you're never going to make it. You're going to be that guy that gets married to the 20th partner and divorced and married again and divorced and married again and divorced because you just have no foundation about the dynamics of what a guy and girl relationship is like. I hope you guys got that. I know you got it. Praise the Lord. Amen.
I want to have a word of prayer as we close. Father God, as we embark on this journey of just talking, creating a conversation in our midst, Lord, that you're part of and that you can speak into our lives, Lord, you can see the desire of our heart. And Lord, it's to do things right. It's to find a way of making this journey through the young years on into the later years in our lives, and to do it with an approach that would honor you, that would lift you up, that would protect us from going wrong. And Lord, if it is true that there's someone out there who's desperately trying to shipwreck us, to destroy our lives, to mess up our relationships, Lord, if that's true, we want to pray, Lord, that Lord, you would come in, that you would be the one who would protect us, that we would turn toward you, that we would receive your direction, your guidance, that we wouldn't push on and be headstrong and find our feet going to places that they shouldn't. And Lord, it is our deep desire to know you, to honor you, to live in a way that would make you pleased. You are our dad. And we want you to be happy with the way we live. And then we know that would unlock incredible riches and blessing from heaven. So God, in these coming weeks, come and shape us, refine us, define us, transform us into your likeness. Lord, it's an exciting journey. Thank you for the testimony from Imta. Thank you for the way that you saved him, protected him along the way. Do that for all of us, Lord God. May we honor you, and we pray this in the awesome name of Jesus. Amen.